Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Today, the IMF's latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa shows growth in 2016 fell to its lowest level in 20 years.
True, the region has hit a rough patch, but we see three key pillars to restart the growth engine in sub-Saharan Africa. In the medium term, we think there are no reasons why growth should not be very strong.
Céline Allard heads the Regional Studies Division in the IMF's African Department and oversaw the writing of the report. So the latest World Economic Outlook is fairly positive for the first time in several years. Why the gloomy picture for Africa?
So you're right to point that the growth momentum has slowed very, very sharply in sub-Saharan Africa. Compared to the very high growth, the 5 to 6% growth rate that we've gotten used for the region in the last almost two decades, growth has slowed. And in fact, in 2016, we estimate that the average growth for the region has only reached 1.4%, which is the weakest performance in more than two decades and well below the growth of population. And in fact, this is a quite broad-based deceleration because we see about two-thirds of the countries having slowed down last year, which is quite substantial. That said, I also want to convey that there are still some bright spots in the region, especially some of the largest countries in Western and Eastern Africa, Senegal, Côte d'Ivoire, Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, were still growing at fairly robust rates of 5 to 7%. Now, why this overall deteriorated outlook? I think first, you're right that the global outlook has brightened somewhat. That said, it's not going to provide much support for the region. The first element is that oil prices and commodity prices, even if they've improved a little bit, they're still much lower than they were in the early years of the decade. And that means still some headwinds for many of the commodity exporting countries in the region. But I think also, almost more importantly, part of the deteriorated outlook is a reflection of limited policy adjustment in the region. The hardest hit country have only reacted in a delayed fashion and have only put in place modest and limited adjustment. And that's hindering a potential rebound. And even in the faster-growing countries, the Côte d'Ivoire, Senegal, and Kenya of the region, what we see is that the fast pace of growth has also been accompanied by large deficit for a while, and rightly so, because the authorities were trying to address the large development spending needs. But this has also come with vulnerability in the sense that now in those countries, debt is squarely on an uprise trend.
So, but where does Africa fit in now to the global economy? I mean, do they need to be worrying about trade relationships with China or, the stronger U.S. dollar?
So, to some extent, despite very strong progress over the last two decades, sub-Saharan Africa remains less integrated in trade than other regions in the world. And to some extent, that might cushion the region somewhat if there was to happen a shift towards more inward-looking policies across the globe. That said, that doesn't mean that the region is totally immune to global developments. In particular, what we've seen over the last few years is many countries that now we now call frontier market economies that have tapped international markets. And we think this is a good development because it widens the sources of financing, but it also makes those countries more sensitive to the global environment. And in that respect, a higher dollar or a stronger appreciation of the dollar, especially in the context of monetary policy normalization in the U.S., would generate higher headwinds for those countries because not only would they have to finance themselves externally at a higher cost, but it would also increase the servicing cost of the existing external debt.
So oil, I mean, obviously the oil exporters have been struggling with lower oil prices for quite some time now, but the countries within the Central African Economic and Monetary Union are being particularly hard hit. What do you think is the biggest risk for the countries within the CEMAC right now?
So, I mean, first, I think you're absolutely right that all exporters have been particularly hit in the region. Nigeria, Angola, and most of the countries in the CEMAC, the Central African Economic and Monetary Union. So why is that? Well, I mean, even more than for, say, metal exporters, they rely extensively on the oil proceeds, both for exchange rate reserves and for budget revenue. So they've really struggled with the large imbalances that the slump in oil prices had generated since the end of 2014. Now, why is the CEMAC particular in that respect? Well, you know, Nigeria and Angola, to some extent, since the early 2015, have allowed for some depreciation of their exchange rate. And that has helped a little bit absorb some of the extent of the shock. Within the CEMAC, which is a monetary union where the CFA franc is anchored to the euro, the exchange rate tool is not available for those countries, which means that to correct the large imbalances that have emerged in the CEMAC, they need to make even more efforts on the fiscal front. So fiscal measures to reduce the large deficit, to prevent and stop the very large decline in international reserves, and to also avoid a very rapid increase in debt. So I think that what the CEMAC countries need to do is really step up that effort. And in that respect, as you know, the head of states of the CEMAC countries met in December 2016 and collectively agreed to put in place those measures. And at the current stage, our teams are working very intensively with them to try and refine those measures in a context that then we would be able to support them with financial resources.
So another issue that's been affecting the continent is the drought. Why do you think the effects of this drought have been so severe? I mean, is it all about climate change, or are there economic factors behind this drought that's turned into a famine that's threatening, you know, 20 million people?
So you're absolutely right to point out that element, which has also weighed on the outlook of many countries in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, last year there was already a drought that affected a lot of countries in southern Africa. The effects of that drought are fading, but what we're seeing is now with the erratic weather patterns of La Nina, some countries, this time in eastern Africa, are affected by a new bout of drought. We've also seen pest infestation devastating crops in southern Africa this time. And so, to an extent that about half of countries in sub-Saharan Africa have now reported some extent of food insecurity in their country. So something quite serious. But even worse, in some other countries you're mentioning famine, what we're seeing in not only in countries like Yemen or Somalia, but also in sub-Saharan Africa, country like South Sudan, famine is now prevalent, and it's also looming in the northeast of Nigeria. So whereas in some of those countries, droughts have been at play for sure, what we see is that it's been compounded and really exacerbated by conflict situation. We know in South Sudan there's been conflict for a while, and in northeast Nigeria, what's happening is that we're seeing now the effect of past insurgency action from Boko Haram, which means that people in those regions have not been able to plant crops or trade in markets for several years now, and with the very devastating consequences that we know. So what can we do within the IMF? So within our mandate, we're obviously trying to help, having very intensive discussions on those issues with the relevant authorities, providing advice on the economic front on ways to address that. And where warranted and if requested, we've also been providing financial support like we did in Malawi, for example, last year.
So the report suggests that, you know, private sector growth could go a long way towards boosting growth in the region. And it seems, even with all the challenges, that there are so many business opportunities on the continent. What needs to happen for investors to feel comfortable doing business in Africa? And what is the role of the IMF in helping make that happen?
So I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I think it's very important to keep in mind that sub-Saharan Africa remains a region of tremendous potential. In the medium term, we think there are no reasons why growth should not be very strong. And it's very important to be able to reap that potential, because there are very large aspirations from the population in the region, which is young and growing. So true, the region is has hit a rough patch, but we see, three key pillars to restart the growth engine in sub-Saharan Africa. The first one is really a renewed focus on macro stability, correct the large macro imbalances that have emerged now in the hardest hit country through appropriate fiscal measures focused on improving domestic revenue mobilization, and where available, greater exchange rate flexibility. And for the countries that are still growing fast, but where we're seeing emerging vulnerabilities, these vulnerabilities need to be tackled from a position of strength, meaning that now is the time to shift to a gradual pace of consolidation. So that's the first key pillar, without which there won't be confidence for investors to come in. But I think it's important that this is complemented with an effort on the structural fronts to create the opportunities for new sources of growth that can be carried out by the private sector. So it means a renewed focus on economic diversification and improving the business climates so that private agents can feel confident to invest. And then last but not least, I think at this juncture, it's also important to pay particular attention to social safety nets to protect the most vulnerable segment of the populations. And we know that in some countries there are some programs, but they're usually fragmented and they need to be better targeted to really help the most vulnerable segment of the population. So I think those three key pillars, if really implemented in parallel and in complementarity, would really provide the base for that growth rebound, that strong and durable and inclusive growth rebound.
That was Céline Allard, head of the Regional Studies Division in the IMF's African Department, talking about the latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa. You can read the full report at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.